drop in, I have him get out, have an international election, and let him select it. And you don't think he's going to get out, though. You think he's going to put in whatever needs, and what needs would be depending on how many they send down and what General Westmoreland requests. And Westmoreland's requests have all been met up to now. That if he has any more, you sure will meet him. But that nobody's against escalating more than Johnson or you. We don't want any war, that we're trying to get out. But if Bobby's ideas were any good, you don't want to reflect on Bobby. You're his friend, and I'm his friend. We tried to get him elected in New York. We ran a million ahead of half ahead of him. But that if they were so good, why, you ought to give them President Kennedy and let him handle it.
Because I'll tell you, Mr. President, I think with Bobby, if I'm a judge of the fellow at all, he's got that little streak in him. I've known this guy since 1951. I've known him probably as well as anybody in this town outside of his own family. And, you know, Bobby has just got that deep-seated, deep-rooted, kind of mean streak. Let's face it. He inherited it. And he had it, and Jack didn't, in those terms. Jack could, you know, kick it around and be one of the boys. Bobby is a tense guy that's eaten up inside. And I just can't believe that Bobby's motivations are straight out all the time. I think that, unfortunately for him, because he's a basically decent guy, unfortunately for him, I think that some of the resentments he has outweigh his basic judgment on sometimes as he starts carving out these roads to travel. Now, the six Democratic congressmen of Iowa, they had this affair honoring them in Des Moines, Iowa, Friday night, and they asked me to go be the speaker. So I decided, without checking with them at all, that I don't know anything about all the intricacies of Vietnam. I'm not a foreign policy expert, but my God, I'm an American that knows down deep in my heart what we've got to get done. So what I did is I dashed out there, and I gave a speech on Vietnam. And I started the speech by quoting President Kennedy's inaugural address. And then I took it through quotations each year from there and the continuity of our policy from there to this moment. And it was about 15 or 16 minutes, and the six congressmen sat there alongside of me. And when I got through, I got a 2-minute standing ovation from over 2,000 people.
That's wonderful.
And, you know, and it was just a simple speech. I frankly didn't have time to get into a speech clear to the State Department, something like that. So it was just a very simple statement, a restatement of our policy and statement of our position.
Kind of sound like my New York speech.
Yeah, you used the opener, the same one, didn't you? You have the same quotation in there. That's why.
And Bobby's got some awfully good quotations. He says, "We're out here. President Kennedy sent me out here to tell you that we're out here to stay and to win.
Yeah.
Stay until we win." That's what he told him in 62. He was out there.
Well, the great danger of all this is fogging it over, where people are saying, "Well, I don't know just what he is saying, but he's saying something that probably means that we're not going to have to pay as great a price, or we're not going to have to suffer as long or work as hard as the president says." You know, it gets into that vague area where no one knows really what the hell he's saying, except they get they're apt to as this goes
along. Now, they tell me, I don't know, but they tell me he's been very much in Miami. He was had three or four boys reporting to him, and he's going around, and Meany says that he will not criticize Johnson. He likes Johnson, that Mansfield and Dirksen shouldn't have killed his 14B, that Bobby's got some of the New Jersey and New Yorker folks saying, and, well, that the Democrats no good, Johnson's no good, trying to stir that up. So I think that we've got ourselves a bear by the tail, and we better get up there, and you better spend a little time with Dirksen on this thing and just say, now, I haven't been bothering you for this reason. The president called me and told me that he didn't want to be twisting arms, and this is a matter for all the country and nothing political, and you had called him, and that you had told him that Mansfield was going to stay another week if you had told him to, and you would handle everything, and that Fulbright was going to stop his hearings, they'd be over, and the bill would be reported, and you'd take it right up. And so he's kind of relying on you to do it. Now, if you can't do that, and we need to get Mansfield back, or if you think that this thing is getting bad from our troops, and Lodge and them say it's not good out there, and we got 700,000. We only got 200,000 own men. We got 700 of theirs, and everything they're hearing over their television, over their radio, is that they're debating the United States Senate whether we ought to pull out. And just say, now, we ought to get a vote on this and get it over with. We've had all we need of it. And see what Dirksen, he's the only guy that can really, Hickenlooper and them are with us. And if they go with Long and Symington and Dodd and that group, Lausche and Sparkman, they can report that bill without any trouble. And then Dirksen can also influence Russell a good deal if he tells him he's going to make a motion to table.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be a damn good thing if Dirksen made the motion to table. I think it'd give the Republicans a little advantage over us, but I think it would show they're nonpartisan and Republican versus Morse. It would really be better, I guess, if Russell, who's chairman of the committee, made the motion to table, but nobody's really going to want to vote with Southerners and with Russell on reiterating Johnson's authority.
Yeah.
I mean, none of the doves.
Yeah.
They don't want to, they can tell New York Harlem that they didn't want to follow Russell.
Yeah.
And the best thing to do is just vote Morse up or down on a motion to table.
Right.
But now get Mike and get him to check this tax committee. It could get out of hand awful easy. McCarthy and Hartke and all of them are raising hell there. We're relying on Dirksen again. Whenever you rely on Republicans, you're a dangerous thing. But those two matters, plus Asian banks, got to be brought up on the floor. So the Senate's kind of in bad shape without any leader for 2 or 3 weeks, and you try to let Vallejo know that, and if necessary, tell Mansfield that you want to get his ideas, that you're just kind of watching these things, and don't let him know that I'm unnecessarily concerned, but just get his ideas. When this thing comes up about Mansfield, you meet it head on. You say the president's taking no such position. He favored Mansfield for foreign relations. He favored him as deputy leader. He favored him as leader. He would nominate him as leader tomorrow. There's nobody in that Senate that he has been closer to or favors more than Mansfield. He's sorry Mansfield doesn't agree with him on Vietnam, but that didn't keep him from sending him around the world. And the reason Fulbright's mad is because he said, and Marcy told the AP boy, that Johnson was trying to make Mansfield a foreign policy spokesman instead of Fulbright. So that started it all, and Mansfield ought to be helping us instead of hiding.
Yeah.
Then let me know afternoon what happened.
I will. I'll report back to you.